Well, let me ask you. Is CERN a concern? Well, I think the short answer is yes and no. You know, all over the internet now are statements that mad scientists at CERN's Hadron's Collider, the $7 billion, 17-mile-long particle accelerator on the French and Swiss borders, which smashes together protons at super high speed to recreate conditions they think existed at the Big Bang. So I don't think they know what they're doing. And they think they have found the God particle and want to try their own hand at creation, I guess. They want to create and control antimatter or dark matter, which even a tiny amount is many, many times more powerful than many nuclear weapons. Many scientists think this is taking a big gamble with the whole Earth. And from demonic experiences received by some people who have worked around this experiment, many believe they will rip the veil between us and the malevolent spirit realm, bringing them into our realm. It is said that their dark matter was first stored at a college, but had to be moved when many there experienced demonic attacks. So, will they bring Satan and his demons here? My question is, where have you been? They're here. Satan is called the prince of the powers of the air. That's our realm. That's the first heaven. And he comes in and out of the second heaven to test us and to take captives regularly. Even since the beginning. Many people don't understand that Satan doesn't have a free will. God is the only sovereign in the universe. But Jesus gave authority to the disciples, and they were commanded to pass this on to us. In Matthew 28 and 18, and Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, that doesn't leave much for the devil, does it? All? What does all leave out? Verse 19, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And then in verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Notice, we were given the same authority as they were. He commanded the disciples to make disciples and teach them to obey everything Jesus told the first disciples. And he went on to say, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And notice from this that he will be with us in this authority over the enemy. Even unto the end. And the disciples aren't here at the end. We are. So he was talking to disciples unto the end of the world. So he's given us authority. He said in Luke 9 and 1, and he called the 12 together, gave them power and authority over all demons. And to cure diseases. And in chapter 10 and verse 19, he said, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. These are different kinds of demonic spirits. And over all the power of the enemy. What does all leave out? And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Well, we need to believe that, don't we? And now, by command of Jesus, they pass this on to us. Some people believe that all passed away. Well, no. He said pass it on to disciples, who were, of course, to pass it on to disciples, who were to pass it on to disciples, because that was the command. Or pass it on. And they did. They passed it all the way down to us. Some people got lost in the meantime and didn't get their portion. But he passed it on down to us. And this has been proven by signs and wonders in our day. Satan only has the authority that God and his children give to him. And as the pattern in Job chapters 1 and 2, we can see that this is true. God's very particular as to what authority he has. That is Satan. On the other hand, God's children are very foolish in some ways and give Satan authority that he shouldn't have. Through their disobedience, and through their fear, and through their spoken words. Job admitted this in his case. Job 3 and 25, "For the thing which I fear cometh upon me." Why is it that the very thing that he feared came upon him? Because he gave authority to the devil through his fear. Fear is just faith in reverse. That's all it is. "And that which I am afraid of cometh unto me. I am not at ease, neither am I quiet, neither have I rest, but trouble cometh." He had a lot of faith that trouble was coming. That's not good. Can't blame him for that. He did what he knew to do, and I believe he was walking in all the light that he had. But I believe God was using this to give us understanding. Now, God knew all of this, and he does all things according to the law. But he wanted and needed to test Job. So he did. He had perfect faith that Job would endure because he upheld him with his power and because he controlled Satan himself, as the book of Job clearly tells us. And, of course, the benefits were that Job learned some things about himself that he was quick to repent of and he got delivered of. The testing of Job, I admit, was an extreme case. But I believe that God did this so that we would know that in our tests, the Father can give us victory too. So Job 1 and 7 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." He was looking for trouble, wasn't he? "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Oh my goodness, he might as well sicked him on him, right? "For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and turneth away from evil." That's just like waving a red flag in front of a bull, ain't it? "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hath not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side?" Hey, that sounds good, doesn't it? You think Job's any different than us? "Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will renounce thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand." Again, he was very particular about what he was handing to Satan. So, Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Notice that the control of this test was in the hands of God. And so it is today, too. But you must be tested. God knows the end from the beginning, so He already knows. But according to law, we have to be tested. And verse 13, and it fell on a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, that there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, The fire of God has fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Notice, they said the fire of God, however, it was Satan. But you see, Satan don't have a free will. He's just a vessel. That's all. God never created a vessel that had sovereignty. He never created a vessel that could whoop him. That would not be very smart of God, right? And verse 17 says, While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made three bands and fell upon the camels and have taken them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Wow. Now, I agree, this is an extreme case, but God wanted you to know that you haven't gone through what Job has gone through, and that God kept Job through this, and He can keep you through this. Then Job arose and rent his robe and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And he said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Well, today, of course, a lot of people would be charging the devil, but Job did not make a mistake when he charged God, because Job knew the devil had no sovereignty. It was in God's hands. He has vessels of honor and he has vessels of dishonor. And Satan just happens to be the head of his vessels of dishonor. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and turneth away from evil. And he still holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. Wow, look at that. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will renounce thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thy hand, only spare his life. Again, God made conditions. He limited his power. But he gave permission. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself therewith, and he sat among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still hold fast thine integrity? Renounce God and die. Even his wife turned against him, and tempted him, and tested him. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And in all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite. And you know the rest of the story. These so-called friends were the worst test with their slander and railing against Job. And God told them that they had not spoken the truth. And like Joseph and David and Jesus and many more, Job was tested and came out blessed above measure. So, what is our initial lessons here? Well, do not fear Satan, his demons, or the people that they use. Matthew 10 and 28 says, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Another lesson, do not release Satan by living in willful sin, because he has authority to administer the curse to those who do this. The Bible says if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversaries. This is what Satan does. I would say number three, do not release him by your words against God's word, or your words of faith in Satan himself and his power. Some people, with their mouth, they praise Satan. They don't realize it, but they're doing that. They are bragging on his power, what he can do and what he, you know, so on and so forth. But, you know, the Lord wants us to give glory to him. And he said, Matthew 12 and 36, "I say unto you that every idle word," that is an unfruitful word, "that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Well, I would say Job's words and his thoughts was that he believed in the power of the curse over him. He believed in Satan. Again, I'm not condemning Job, of course, because I don't believe people in those days had light that they have in these days. We're more accountable than he was. Verse 37 says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So, be careful what you say. You are binding and loosing with your words. In many cases, Christians bind God. Jesus could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. And in many cases, Christians loose the devil because they exercise authority in him and they disagree with the word of God. And in James, the Lord said, don't think you're going to receive anything because of unbelief. And this thing about fear, I mean, in this regard, many preachers put fear in God's people through their reporting about the enemy's works because they do not let their words always be seasoned with grace to give faith to the brethren. In Colossians 4 and 6, it says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." We've been delegated authority from the Lord, but it's useless if we ignore these principles, which were shown to Job, and even more so, the words that Jesus has given unto us, like Matthew 18 and 18. "Verily I say unto you, what things soever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, And what things soever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Great power, great authority given to the saints from a sovereign God who cannot lie. It's awesome. Now, let me tell you something about Satan that the Lord told me years ago. Satan has sown deceit and is therefore reaping deceit. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. He thinks he can win against God, or he wouldn't even try. With things like CERN and the Destroyer, in other words, Planet X, and other things, he is threatening God's people with what he will do. And it's always with things that can be seen, because Satan knows the carnal man only believes what he can see. So he gives him something to see. Now, we know the Destroyer, for instance, was Apollyon, the Destroyer, who came to destroy those who were not under the blood. But the Egyptians wrote in their writings that they looked up and saw a planet, which gave, I believe, proof to the people that these aliens had come on this planet. And many preach that today. They believe in aliens. I don't. I believe in demons. Why does Satan do this? Because he has to put fear in you, which is faith in him, and the curse. And he has to do this so that he can take full advantage of you. He doesn't have permission to come against faithful people. The powers that be are Satanists who know this principle, that fear has to be instilled in the heart of their victims so that they can tell us beforehand what they will do. Many make, statements concerning this, that they're always telling us what they're going to do. It's kind of their unwritten law. Or maybe it's written, I don't know. Satan is saying through CERN that he's going to be able to torment you. And when you believe him, he has authority. Now, we need to know that their plans are to some extent, but at the same time, we need to know our authority over him and his works. We're not to stop the trial or the test because the Lord has ordered this, as he did with Job. But we are to show that through faith in the gospel, we are justified and given authority over all the power of the enemy. Just as Jesus demonstrated for us, and his disciples demonstrated for us, when they believe the word, we have authority to give them the gifts of God. Whether it be healing, deliverance, provision, whatever. Protection, whatever. With faith, there is nothing impossible. I don't believe, according to the Word, that we're to study in any depth evil. It brings fear. Besides, you cannot study evil enough to know every form of evil. It would take you all of your life and you still wouldn't get there. Satan can throw things at you never even thought of. So, we're to study good, so that we'll know all evil when we see it, and we'll be able to do something about it, because if you have the Word in you, you can do something about it. If all you know is evil, what are you going to be able to do about it but fear? Romans 16 and 19 says, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I rejoice therefore over you. But I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple unto that which is evil." There you have it. We're not to study evil. We're to be simple concerning evil. We don't need to know all the ins and outs of the Hadron Collider and what it can do and what it can't do. We don't need to know all of that. Right off, we know there's something wrong because Satan's trying to worry us with what he's going to do when he comes to the earth. He don't have authority over that. And besides, the Lord said, "Say ye not a conspiracy." He went on to say, "The Lord, let him be your fear." That's Isaiah chapter 8. Well, does all this mean that we're not to be concerned that the mad scientists and their handlers will open the gates of hell? Well, first of all, Jesus said, Matthew 16 and 18, "And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," and this rock in the context is the revelation given to Peter, "thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon this rock I will build my church." Now, the church is not what the church calls the church. The church means called out ones. Many of the church won't come out. Okay? Won't come out from among them. But in Jesus' day, he called his church out of all the denominations of Judaism. Right? And he went on to say, "And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Against what? His real true church. Those who come out of the worldly church and its mind of the flesh will have victory over the gates of hell. Are we worried about the gates of hell? Who controls the gates of hell? Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Secondly, it's not these men who bring Satan, the prince of the powers of the air, and his demons to fight with us, but our Father. And he does that so that we will beat Satan. Just as we beat our flesh. And he will be cast down to the earth. Who is doing this according to the scriptures? Do you trust God? If you found out it was Satan who had a free will to do this, you'd be worried, right? But if you found out it was God working all things together for your good, you would not be so worried, would you? No. See, we see in Revelation 12 that to beat Satan, we must deny ourselves and be holy. Revelation 12 and 6 says, "And the woman," which is the church. Let me say this. Some people say, "No, that was Israel." Well, no, it's not. Because back in chapter 4, God told John, "Come up hither and I will show you the things that are to come to pass hereafter." That was when John was an old man, way after the time of Jesus and the church. And Israel. Okay, there was a new covenant church at this time. And the woman, the church, fled into the wilderness, which is the tribulation, according to Revelation 12 and Revelation 17, where she hath a place prepared of God. Yep, the church is going into the tribulation. A place prepared of God, that there they, that's the man, child, and bride ministries, may nourish her 1,260 days. That's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. There's another 3.5 years mentioned in the next chapter, which is totally different. Okay? "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon." You think they had a big problem with him? I really don't think so. I mean, it only took one measly angel to throw the devil, wrap him up in chains, and throw him in the lake of fire. It only took one angel to do that. I don't think it's a problem for God's angels to whoop the devil whenever they want to. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred with and his angels. And they prevailed not. Well, of course not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. That is, in the second heaven, which is their abode. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan. Now, why is this dragon, which has 7 heads and 10 horns, and we know what the 7 heads and 10 horns are, they're the whole earth, just like the beast, it's the body of the wicked in the whole earth. But who's in them? Satan is manifested in them. He is their father, Jesus said. He that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. Now, why would they do that? Well, you know, throw him on another planet, Lord. No. They were cast down to the earth by Michael and his angels, because God knew exactly what he was doing. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, "Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God," which is, of course, where God rules, right? "And the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night." Now, God acts like this is a good thing. And it is, if we see it from his point of view. "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death." So this is the saints that overcame him. They did the spiritual warfare on the earth because they believed in the power of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, that is, the testimony of Jesus, the word of God, right? "And they loved not their life even unto death." They did warfare and they won. It's just that the angels are waiting to hear the word of God out of the mouth of the saints to go forth and do it and bring it to pass. And they brought it to pass in the heavenlies. So who is it that cast Satan down to the earth? Well, from our point of view, it's the authority that he gave to us to bind and to loose. "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil is gone down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time less." Yeah, he has great wrath, but it has no effect on the people of God other than to sanctify them. They know they have to be holy to go against Satan. It motivates them to holiness, and they fight the good fight of the faith. Right? And of course they win, because the Lord gave them authority over all the power of the devil. "And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth," by the way, it wasn't CERN that cast him down, or any mechanical thing that cast him down to the earth. It was the saints. So why would we be worried that he'd be cast down to the earth? Why would we be worried that he's on the earth? If the saints are doing it, if the angels are doing it, and if God is doing it, "He persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there were given to the woman," because, I mean, first of all, he persecuted the man-child, then he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. This is God's purpose. It has to be. It sanctifies the body. "And there were given to the woman the 2 wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished a time and times and a half a time." There's that 3.5 years again. "From the face of the serpent," who is who? Satan. We just read it. Here the church will learn that when they conquer their flesh through the faith and the blood, they conquer and cast down Satan. Didn't Jesus say the same thing? disciples went out there and whooped Satan really good. Cast out devils, healed the sick, etc., etc. And came back and saw Jesus, and Jesus said, I beheld Satan fallen from heaven. In verse 15 says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river. In other words, it's a flood of delusion. Just like the Word of God is a river of living water, this was a river of deadly water. Words of delusion, right? That he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. So the earth bought the lies, and it brought death to them. And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Notice, Satan failed against the true come-outers and had to go away. He had to leave them. Kind of like when he was in the garden with Jesus and tempted him, and the Lord kept slapping him with the Word of God. He left. Went to go find easier prey. And here, of course, he's going after those that are latecomers, you know, that need to be tested and tried, like Job. Now notice that before the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, the woman went into the wilderness, and Satan and his worldwide body of the dragon made war against the man-child, who was then caught up to David's throne of authority over the church. You say, I thought it was God's throne. It is God's throne, but if you'll read carefully, you'll find that David's throne was God's throne on the earth. It was said of his son Solomon that he sat on David's throne for God and ruled for God. That was God's throne. And, of course, this man-child is the first fruits of those who will have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Some people think that's blasphemy, but it's right straight out of the Word of God, which they don't want to believe. Christ is in you by His Word, if you believe it and speak it, and by His Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit will take of mine and declare it unto you. That's His job, is to manifest Jesus in us. So, Satan and this dragon makes war on the man-child before the 3.5 years, first 3.5 years starts. Revelation 12 and 3, and there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads. This is the seed of all 7 world-ruling empires that just happened to have conquered God's people when they were in rebellion. And 10 horns, that's the 10 kings of the 10 continental divisions of the earth in the UN. And upon his heads, 7 diadems, crowns. And his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven. That's the seed of Abraham. A third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. They lost their heavenly position in Christ because they did not overcome him. They did not put his word in their heart. They did not fight the good fight of the faith. They believed, they feared Satan, and he conquered them. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Okay, and then, of course, Satan, as the dragon, was standing right there, ready to devour him, tried to devour him. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. So she went into the wilderness for 3.5 years after the dragon sought to devour the man-child. And let me tell you this, the woman is not the bride. The bride is a part of the woman, just like we see in all the rest of the scriptures. Psalm 45, Song of Solomon, Esther. No, the bride is never the church, but a first fruits of the church, a very beautiful first fruits of the church, because she has put on Jesus Christ and holiness and walks in obedience to Him and loves Him enough to keep His commandments. So, Satan is here now, before the tribulation, in his dragon body, making a Job's friends kind of slander assassination war against these man-child Davids. And he's doing this so that in conquering them, he may devour the bride. Remember, David ruled in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the bride. And of course, he is, and he will fail to devour them. And devour just means that he wants to bring them into his body, under his submission, into his body. He is making war on them to conquer them, like he has conquered the rest of the harlot that's in his body. As in Esther, the bride is a portion of the church who was deemed more beautiful to the king because she listened to his chamberlain, representing the Holy Spirit, and put on the clothing and the works of Christ. His chamberlain told her what to wear, and she was pleased to wear whatever pleased him. Remember, the garments of the bride are the righteous acts of the saints. As in Esther, Mordecai, which means little man or man-child, and Esther the bride overcame to conquer Haman and his army of Jew/Christian haters to save God's people from this beast. Remember, everything that happened to the Jews is for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Ours means the church. So Haman sent out his notice to all of his people, you know, to kill the Jews. But God had somebody in the palace. He had the bride and the man-child in the king's palace. And they received authority from the king to stop all this. And that is a prophecy for the end times. But at this moment, Satan is attempting to devour the man-child and the bride. Whoever he's able to devour out of the bride, they weren't the bride. That's the test, right? David Wilkerson prophesied of this slander war. And we've also received many dreams warning us years before it's coming. And that's on a David Wilkerson page there, right on the front of our website. The bride and the man-child, as in Esther, were the first fruits to escape the beast in the king's house. And then they were used by giving the rest of the church authority from the king to stand for their lives, quote unquote, against the Antichrist assault. So put on your armor and stand for your lives, saints. You have the sword of the Lord, you have the helmet of salvation, etc., etc. It's been given to you so you can win. If you want to know more particulars about this man-child bride, you can listen to our videos, Hidden Manna for the End Times, or our book, Hidden Manna for the End Times, or our video, or our dreams and visions on the man-child ministry, etc., etc. You can study these things. Oh, thank you, Lord. We pray it soon. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just ask you to pour out your Spirit upon us and cause us to be well-pleasing unto you and to overcome Satan and his demons here and now and, of course, when he's poured out in even a greater way during the days to come. We just ask you in Jesus' name, Lord. And when he's cast down to this earth, Lord, let us overcome him in every way, Father. Thank you so much.